Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this 18th Sunday after Pentecost is our Old Testament reading. Prophet Amos, chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Now we'll read it as we go. These are the words of our Lord, and so we pray. Sanctify us, O Lord, by your truth. Your word is truth. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the gospel, Jesus tells us, the crowd, a story. And the Old Testament reading describes the state of the church during the time when Uzziah was king of Judah. So when you and I hear these words, what are we to do? Listen, of course. But I have often wondered how many people think these words, lots of what the Bible says, were meant only for those whom they were written to, that they don't really apply to us today. Some will echo words like, we're in the New Testament, not the Old. Yes, but Jesus' story, what about that? That was written for Jewish people, some of it. Yes. Yet St. Paul has another idea. He writes to Timothy, a young pastor. All scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Timothy was a pastor in a non-Jewish church. St. Paul explains also this to the Corinthian church, another non-Jewish church. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them since they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things took place as an example for us so that we will not desire evil things as they did. Don't become idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to party. Let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in a single day, 23,000 people died. Let us not test Christ as some did and were destroyed by snakes. And don't grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroyer. These things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our instruction, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. No temptation has come upon you except what is common to humanity. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also provide the way out so that you may be able to bear it. So when you hear or read any of the words of the Bible, like our Old Testament lesson, woe to those who are at ease in Zion, and to those who feel secure on the mountains of Samaria, the notable men of the first of the nations, to whom the house of Israel comes, pass over to Calneh and see, and from there go to Hamath the Great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. When you hear or read them, put your own name in there, your family name. Put your own town, state, and country. Replace the name of whom the words are directed with the name of this church. Take heed, lest you fall. I will ask you what the prophet asks. Are you better than these kingdoms? Or is their territory greater than your territory? Or you who put far away the day of disaster and bring near the seat of violence? Woe to those who lie on beds of ivory and stretch themselves out on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the midst of the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David invent for themselves instruments of music, who drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. The ruin of Joseph is, in other words, for the ruin of the church. Are we any different? Are we better people, more godly, more moral? That is exactly why Jesus tells his story to Jewish people. They thought they were better, especially the Pharisees, the top churchgoers in the land. Who are you in Jesus' story? Notice the rich man is not even named. As no, his name is not written in the book of life. He is dead. Dead on earth and dead in eternity. Eternal separation from God, nameless in God's eyes, no longer one of God's children. And yet this guy was a church member. I have to ask myself, which character in this story am I? What kind of church do we have here? Is it acting and doing as Jesus commanded? Do we love one another? Do we gossip about each other? Are we generous to those in need? King David says this, "It is better to be a doorman in the house of the Lord than to revel and party in the tents of the wicked." But do we, you and I, go out of here and be about our business week after week, ignoring and caring less about the ruin of the church? When the Bible talks about Joseph, Judah, Ephraim, Israel, Jacob, he is talking about the church. When we don't grieve about our church condition, when we don't pray, help, and act on her behalf, when we let it come to ruin all because we'd rather name the reason. We'd rather be doing something else, helping some other cause, being about some other business. Take heed lest you fall. This is directed to us, to our towns, to our state and country, to this very church here today. Remember, this is in the Bible. I am not taking this out of context so I can preach doom and gloom sermons to you. I did not select these verses. They are part of the historic readings of the church. You will hear them again every 3 years, in fact. We have to listen. We have to take heed. So what must we do? On Pentecost, St. Peter preached a sermon telling the crowd about how Jesus was murdered, that they all failed to recognize their own Messiah, that they let it happen, did nothing to stop it, to stop the illegal trial, that they did not notice, were not bothering about the condition that the church was in. They were just in town for the Pentecost festival services and would have just left afterwards checking the obligation box as if that is what it was all about. And then to just go back to their lives as if nothing happened. So then doing exactly what the prophet just warned against. Yet when Peter got up and preached, they were cut to the quick, as the old English version puts it. They realized deeply that this was their fault, as if they drove the nails into his hands and feet themselves. Well, in truth, we all did. My sins made Jesus suffer. Yours too. But they asked Peter, "What must we do?" Peter answered, "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." You are being called. You have been called. So yes, repent and return to your baptism. How? And repent of what? Of leaving God at the altar each week. Of putting on your Christian clothes on Sunday morning and then taking them off as soon as you get home. Of never thinking about your Savior after you walk out of this place today. Of going about your business Monday through Saturday as if Sunday was the only day you had anything to do with your faith. As if today is all there is. All that needs to be. All that you are to do. As if God does not care about any day or place other than here today. And that a box is checked. Repent, or we will end up like the nameless rich man in Jesus' story. Listen, yes, it is better to be that wretched, sore-covered beggar who died with nothing. It is better to be him than the rich man who ends up in hell. What good does it do anyone, Jesus asked, for us to have the entire world but lose our soul? We might still be asking, how? Repent of what? What must we do, like the crowd after Peter's sermon? What? How? Listen to St. John repeat Jesus' very own words to an established church long after he ascended into heaven. God has St. John write down, "Thus says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the originator of God's creation. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. For you say, I'm rich. I have become wealthy and need nothing. And you don't realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined in fire so that you may be rich. White clothes so that you may be dressed and your shameful nakedness not be exposed. An ointment to spread on your eyes so that you may see." These are Jesus' words. Jesus is speaking to you and me. We are still asking how, what must we do? Because we are rich. The richest nation of the world. But you see that wretch begging outside the rich man's door was far richer. Take heed lest you fall. Why have I preached a sermon like this? Why am I saying all this? Jesus told us that we are to make disciples by baptizing and teaching to obey all that Jesus commanded. All of Scripture, in other words. So today Jesus is saying this to you. As many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be zealous and repent. See, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. Let anyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. He is reproving us, but only so that we don't end up like the rich man. Only so that our church does not end up as the Old Testament lesson predicts and what did happen to the church at that time. Therefore, verse 7, "Therefore they shall now be the first of those to go into exile, and the revelry of those who stretch themselves out shall pass away." He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Take heed lest you fall. But in that fall, during this time of grace, in your hearing, as Jesus is still knocking at your door, at this time, Jesus is right there to catch us. he fell to the depth of hell so as to be able to rescue even the worst of us, you and me. And we do fall and have fallen. The church in this country is a mess. Faithless, corrupt, and apostate as Israel ever was. You and I have fallen many times. Maybe even in a very big way this week. Even perhaps today. So he will reprove, chasten, punish, and discipline me and you. With these very words, in fact. That is why they are read in the church. It's why I'm preaching this sermon. So listen to these words of God and rebuke that rebuke you. Do not think they are for someone else. God forbid that I think they are just for you and not for me. You are here. God has called you. Listen. Take to heart what you hear. Repent and be caught by the merciful hands of Jesus. In these very words, he gives the required ears to hear. He melts hard hearts. I should have put in breaks hard heads by his word so that he can have compassion on us, so that he can save us and take us to heaven like the poor beggar. Listen as St. John explains what we must do. And we have heard these words many times. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is knocking. That text in Revelation is not for unbelievers, but believers who have sinned. Hearing his voice then, in these very words, repent, confess, and be caught up in the mercy and grace of Jesus. For yes, all your sins are forgiven you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And then because of that, he invites us and comes to sit down with us at his table and feeds us himself. And then, in the end, all beggars become princes. You and me, even. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.